Welcome, Hump Girl in Faith, to another Mom Mentor. I'm so excited to have Susan C. with me today. We're going to be talking about going from surviving to thriving in motherhood and what that looks like and how we can do that with God and sharing God with our kids. So, Susan, how about you introduce yourself? Because you know you more than I know you.
For now, we're going to get to know each other.
Right.
So I am Susan C. I'm here in Austin, Texas, and I have home here with my college sweetheart, Ron. We met first semester of college, probably the first 3 weeks we were on campus, and we've been together ever since. So we just celebrated 25 years of marriage, and we are parents to 7 children, 1 boy and 6 girls. So our kids right now are ages 23 to 9. And I've got my oldest 2 are graduating from college in 3 weeks.
Wow.
On the same day.
On the same day. Wow. Impressive.
They go to the same school. So I think there's something about our family. We're just efficient.
Just get it done. And I read that you were homeschooling all your kids too, right?
Yes. Yes. My kids have been homeschooled all the way through, except for college. You know, everything else was home.
That's awesome. So you have a book that you were just telling me. You had just kind of taken out of print because you wanted to work on it, but it's called Intentional Parenting. Mm-hmm. So what made you write that book?
Yeah, I think that was just sheer obedience. I've been speaking and gathering moms and just trying to encourage them. And I felt the challenge to write a book and just put some of my words on paper. Mm. But I did that out of obedience because I didn't see myself as a writer. It's only a recent acceptance that I have that writing is part of me speaking words of encouragement to moms. It's not just doing that verbally, but also putting it into written form so that they can access it that way. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to have a central message, and I struggled with what that message was. Like, if I could have one conversation with moms, what would it be about? And I thought and thought and thought about it, and I thought, it's just about being intentional. That's really what it comes down to for me. But I want to give the definition of intentional because I think it's important. Because sometimes when we hear intentional, we think perfection. We think the mom who's got it all together, and she's got the planner with the color-coded pens, which I want to be that woman. I keep buying a planner. If I finally buy the right planner, maybe my life will suddenly get in order. And I love colorful pens. So, but I'm not that chick. Like, I want to be that woman, and I'm just not. So intentional in my community means this: having both the courage and the confidence to live true to your core values.
I like that's all the C's in there. The courage and the confidence to live true to your core values.
Yes, it's really more about us taking the time to create a vision for where we're headed and what we believe God wants for our families, and then identifying what's at the core of that and get that down to 3 core values. And then everything we do in our families is just pointing back to that. Like, when we're choosing our friendships, when we're choosing what movie we're going to watch, when we're choosing what church we're going to join, when we're choosing how we're going to treat one another and behave in our home, it's not about rules and it's not about trying to make everything flow just right. It's just, are we in alignment with our core values or not? And that's what being intentional is.
That is way easier than trying all these different things. This is great. Sorry, I'm just kind of sitting here processing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that. So do you give examples of suggested core values, or does it kind of comes out as you go through the book, you figure out your own?
Oh, yeah. So both. I definitely want to give moms examples, but then in the end, it's really about their unique family and what it is that God has for them so that they can identify the core values for them. So I can share that our family core values, the 3 of them are faith, love, and respect. And everything that we do points back to that. So if I have one of my kids hits her sister, right? Then I used to have this rule, like, we don't hit in this family.
Right. Yeah, that's a normal rule, yeah.
Right? It sounds reasonable. But really, the only conversation we're having now is, did you follow the rule or not? when really I want to give my children a bigger conversation to be a part of. That the core values are who we are at the core, the way that God's uniquely knit our family together. Mm-hmm. And then our goal every day is to live in alignment with how we've been uniquely created. So when you hit your sister, were you living true to the core value of respecting your sister and loving your sister or not? And now the question becomes, how could you do that better next time? Because there'll be a next time she's going to irritate you. There's going to be a next time when you're tired or you're frustrated or whatever. Now, how could you live in line with your core values the next time that happens? And it's not about hit or don't hit, because we could still not hit our sister and still be mean. You know?
We can use our words, the way we position our bodies.
Or we could just stonewall them, right? Where we just won't even acknowledge their presence. Like, there's so many ways to be mean that you can't. I just found myself at a loss as a mom on trying to find a rule where I was trying to get to something and I wasn't getting to it. And the core values just helped me nail it. So now my conversation keeps going back to, are you respecting your sister? Are you loving your sister? Let's talk about that, because as a family, that's what we're about.
Wow. Yeah, that's really great. I'm going to have to think about that more. Now I need to get a copy of your out-of-print book. So now you need to finish it. Fix it up so that we can reread it. Excellent. I need to think about that more. But even just those three core values, like those are pretty general. I can really see how that would really help you talk to your kids better, and all those things would come in. We just had a hitting incident this morning. So one of my kids was really mad because he'd hurt himself, and the other kid happened to look at him askance.
Yes, right. Like,
I just watched the nerve. Yeah, the nerve of you looking at me when I'm crying.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I can see how, that was not maybe super respectful or loving, but it comes out of a place of frustration, but that doesn't mean it's right. But yeah, I like that, because then it lets you have less rules then.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of
a... Well, yeah, because one thing I've learned with my kids is no matter what rule I made, they would do things that weren't against the rules, but still weren't things that they should be doing. Like, right. I had the rules about we don't run in the house and we don't bounce the balls in the house and we use a soft voice in the house, all these things. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have a rule about we don't make socks into a ball and then chunk them into the ceiling thing. Like, I didn't know I should make a rule about that.
No. Except was that your happened. Boy? Was that your one son?
Yeah. No, I would love to say it was just him, but no, he had some accomplices. Like, they were in it together.
Okay.
And I just thought, technically they're not breaking the rule, but this is not what we should be doing with the socks. So
no, it's maybe not respecting like our ceiling fan.
Exactly. Are we respecting this house? Like, is this how we treat the pieces of our home? Is this what we do? Mm-hmm. And, we could have that conversation around our core values, but rules, they just failed me in that way.
It makes it a lot more deep, and it gives them something to carry with them when they go and they grow up. Then those core values are just then ingrained in them. Mm-hmm. So then when they go off to college, it's not like, oh, now I know that I'm not supposed to hit somebody, but can I don't know what else they would do in college, but it would still apply. Oh my goodness. My brain is
well, there's away. Gossiping. There's bullying. Right. There's just treating people with such a distance where you won't even acknowledge them and give them the opportunity to be with you. You mm-hmm. could exclude them and not invite them. And there's just so many ways. I mean, goodness, the list of ways that we could be mean and hurtful mm-hmm. and harmful to one another. We could just go on and on. Yeah. And I want my children to have this deeper calling from within themselves where they identify with three things that are true for who they are and the way that God created them. And then they just make it their mission every day to live more and more in alignment with that. And my hope is now that I'm getting ready to launch my two oldest and they've grown up with this, is that they would identify the three true things that are the core values for themselves. Mm-hmm. What are their three core values going forward and how can they live true to those each day? So that it simplifies their conversation. So it's not about, don't give in to peer pressure and don't go out here after 9 o'clock and, all these things that we want to do because we're trying to protect our children. Mm-hmm. But it's like, have you prayed about where you're going tonight? well, what time mm-hmm. should you be home? So the conversation now is not, you have a curfew of what time you should be home. It's like, what is the appropriate time for you to be home based on, you know, what your commitments are? How do you respect the commitments you've made the next day and respect the people you've promised you'd be there? If you stay out late, can you still have the energy to go and do that and be fully present?
So what you're talking about really is helping them develop like kind of that inner strength or that internal motivation for the way that they behave instead of just placing a bunch of rules on them, which is the whole point of Christianity, that we have this internal value system instead mm-hmm. of just a bunch of rules. So, wow.
Oh, that was good. I like that, man. I like that. That was really good. Yes, I do want them to have a core identity. It's mm-hmm. about identity to me. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And then when you know who you are, I mean, that is something that so many people don't have. They don't know who they are. So that's awesome that you're giving it to them, and I'm going to think about that deeper. So I know that one of the things you talk about is kind of going from surviving, from just surviving to thriving in motherhood. So do you feel like is that really deeply connected to being intentional?
Oh, absolutely. Because part of my series or season of surviving in motherhood was me reading all the books and trying to follow all of the formulas on how to be a good mom and how to take the best care of my kids and how to get that new kid by the end of the week. And, you know, all the different yeah. things that I was trying.
I know what book you're talking about.
Like, I keep trying these formulas. And one thing about having a big family is you have enough kids that you can pretty much poke a hole in every single parenting ideal or system out yeah. there, right? Like, it might have worked for these two, but I finally got to one where I'm like, this is not working at mm-hmm. all. And I did not ever want to, in my desire to encourage moms, I didn't ever want to heap another system or another burden upon moms on how to be a good mom.
Yeah.
Instead, I'm just like, what could we find about what God has for you? What is the purposes he has for you and the plans he has for you? Mm-hmm. And now how can I support you with tools to help you do that?
Yeah.
And now you, I almost feel like I put together like a coloring book of the way I teach. It's a coloring book. Now you come in and you fill in the picture, and everybody's picture should look unique and different because they bring their own artistry to it. That's what I feel like is freedom and something that we can thrive in instead of feeling like, well, we're just trying to survive through another week of another moment of how we're not measuring up and how we're not meeting all of the things and all the ways we failed. I'm like, nobody got time for that. Let's find a way that we can thrive in this and enjoy what God has given us in our families.
The core values of our membership site here are that we have a calling to share Christ with our kids, and we do that through like consistent habits, but we all pick different habits. I don't tell you, you need to do these five habits in order to be sharing Christ with your kids. You need to pick the things that work for your family, because within that, we also use C's. There's creativity, right? Mm. And we do it with the confidence that God is calling our children, and he is the one that's actually going to change their hearts.
Oh, I love that. Love.
Yeah. So it really ties into what you were saying there. So, yay.
I love that. Yes, absolutely. I think that it's a warning flag that we should all pay attention to when someone is, in the name of helping us, is giving us a lot of different rules and telling us the way that it must happen.
Right.
I think that's an opportunity for us to check in, to say, you know, is the Spirit of God here? Because when he comes, he brings liberty and he brings a freedom. He sets us free. He doesn't burden us down.
Amen.
And I that's a consistent conversation I'm having with my kids, because, you know, of course they go through the stages where they want to try to fit in. They want to try to make friends. So what is it I need to be wearing, or how do I need to be doing my hair, or, you know, what do I need to be saying, or how do I need to talk in order to fit in?
Yeah.
And I'm like, if you start finding that there's a formula for you to do that, you're starting to lose a piece of yourself, which is what makes you beautiful and what makes you shine. So check in and go back to, what does God say about you, and how do you live truer to that than anything else someone else is trying to tell you?
Yeah, that sounds like a great conversation. So how do those conversations come up in your family? You just, things happen and you show up and talk about it, or do you have kind of a consistent time that you talk with your kids about things of God, or how does that look in your family?
Ah, yeah. So it has changed over time. I think that one of the keys is right now, I'll talk about right now, we have table time.
Okay.
And so table time in the morning is when we all gather around the table and we read the word in various forms. And I'm very adamant about that because I found that in the past, I felt like I had defined what meeting with Jesus looked like and what our time with God would look like. And we're going to sit down and we're going to read so many scriptures. We're going to read the proverb of the day. And then we're going to talk about one of those verses that stood out to us. And then we're going to write that down. And I had this whole plan and it was great until it was no longer life-giving. And people were just doing it because it's the thing that we're supposed to do every Thursday.
Yeah.
And nobody was really paying attention to the words that were being said. And people were playing with the sock lint between their toes and they were like drifting and not paying attention. And the word was not alive anymore. It was just words. And I was like, we're missing something here. If I continue to stick with my plan, we're not going to get what God has for us. So I needed to be willing to do something different. So now sometimes we'll listen to music. Sometimes we'll sit in silence. I was recently introduced to a practice called Visio Divina. Have you heard of this?
Visio Divina? I have not.
Visio Divina. Okay, let me tell you about this. I'm so incredibly excited. I wish I had something with me, but basically Visio Divina is looking for the divine in ordinary objects. And so you take an ordinary object, like you might take a picture frame, and there's no picture in the middle. It's just the frame, right? Mm-hmm. And let's say that the frame has a crack in it. You can pick this stuff up at thrift stores. You might even have it in your garage. Just look for ordinary items. And you put that item on the table in the middle of you, and you look at the item until you catch a glimpse of the divine God in that. So the picture frame could represent how we have this idea of what life is supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. But God hasn't filled in the picture in the middle. And maybe the crack in the frame are the places in our lives where the broken places where we think now the frame is ruined. This picture of what I had is ruined. But God is still going to be able to, we could put a picture behind that glass and it could still be beautifully framed. And that's what God can do in our life. So it's like one of those moments where you take something that looks ordinary, but you still search for the divine message that that ordinary object can give.
So cool. It's like finding metaphors just in real life, like not just the metaphors that are already written in the Bible, but other metaphors that we can see. Very cool. I mean, that's what devotion writers do all the time, right? Metaphors for how we connect with God. That's very cool.
Yeah.
I like that. That's kind of like, we had these little bowls. We were making these like Chinese Ming bowls. Ours did not look very fancy. But when they dried, they cracked quite a bit. So I went and I showed them that, like, I think it's a Japanese practice where they fill in the cracks with gold and they actually make it more beautiful when it's, so it's cracked, but it's even more beautiful. So we're talking about how, you know, when our lives are, it's basically the same thing, right? Like God takes those holes and those cracks in our life and he fills them with himself and he makes us even more beautiful. So, well, we did Visio Divina with even knowing it. Cool.
Yes, that's exactly it. So it's become a fun search for me now to look for ordinary objects that have some type of message that I see and then sharing it with my kids. So the conversation is still about God. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't look like, everybody open your Bible, please turn to Mark chapter 3, verse 2. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's still us talking about him. We're just doing it in a way that helps to build a connection because ultimately that's what he wants, is relationship.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. I love that. You know, one of our members is also a writer and she just came out with a book called Abide, and it was about 40 ways to abide in Christ, because it's not just about like turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. And yes, that's important. But there are so many other ways to abide in Christ too. So,
yes.
And oh, she didn't have Visio Divina on there. So Tara, if you're listening.
Hey, Tara, check that
here's
out.
Here's number 41. I'm sure,
go Google that and you'll start to see some things. And I think it's connected to maybe the Catholic Church. I'm not sure, which is not, you know, my particular church or faith. But the practice was just so huge for me that I was like, yes, like this is an opportunity here. And I want to share that with my kids.
All right. So, okay. So you have like table time that you're doing with your kids, and then you find that you probably have other conversations with them
mm-hmm.
about the
yes.
values and stuff during the day that just kind of come up naturally.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the challenges that I've personally felt in my own faith journey, which I think is how the conversations happen with my kids, is it's an overflow of my own, enriching my own faith and deepening my own faith and connection to God. And we seem to have the best conversations when I'm doing that. And we seem to have the driest conversations when I'm just trying to follow a formula. Like, we should have some time with God. But one of the challenges that I found is there's an encouragement. I'm going to get on a soapbox here.
Go for
but
it.
There's an encouragement for women to have this daily quiet time with Jesus. And I get the heart of it, which is basically spend time daily connecting with the Father mm-hmm. and find ways to stay connected to Him throughout the day. I get that. But the message that I hear is, you know, the Instagram picture of there should be a table with a mug with coffee or something hot to drink, because I'm not a coffee drinker,
okay,
so something hot to drink. And you should have a pretty pen, and you should have this whole setup with the sun coming in just right on the table, like the whole scene, right? Like, in my mind, this is what I should be having every day in order to meet with Jesus. And instead, you know, I'm stumbling across dirty socks and toys on the floor, and my table is sticky, and I'm grouchy and grumpy, and my kids are at each other, and I'm thinking, I can't meet with Jesus. See, I can't meet with Jesus because look, this is not the scene. Like, this is not quiet for one.
Yeah.
And it's just not, you know, picture worthy. Like, this is not it. We can't meet with Him. I can't meet with Him. You know, and then I start to begrudge my own children, like the very people that God's blessed me with. Now I'm irritated at them because they're keeping me from something. And in the midst of one of my rants about why this will never work, and see, I tried God. I got up early. They got up early. I stayed up late. They stayed up late. Like, seriously, this is not working. I felt like the Lord was saying, how about if we get to the heart of it? And it's about having a meeting with me. So the work then for me became not, can I have a quiet time with Jesus, but can I hear Him and connect with Him in the midst of the noise? And when I started to really sit with that idea, I thought, you know, we are called to be soldiers in God's army, and we are fighting a spiritual battle every single day. And I have never seen a battle scene that's quiet.
No. True.
So if we're training soldiers to have quiet time in order to hear from God, then we're training in the wrong direction. Because if anything, soldiers should be prepared to hear the commands, even in the midst of chaos and noise and distraction, because that's what a battlefield looks like. And I was like, now that more closely resembles my life as a mom than this quiet scene. Like, I need to be able to train my ear and train my children's ear to be able to hear the Father in the midst of chaotic, distracting situations. Can you still hear Him? That's the work.
Yes. Wow. Yes, that was an awesome soapbox. Best one ever. Oh, man, yes, because you're right. It is. Okay, I can't even like add to that. That was awesome. Is that part of your book?
It should be.
Yeah, that was great. Oh, wow. Yes, okay. That is because I know that it is such a struggle and we feel such guilt. Like, when I first had my first son, I was used to having this like quiet time every day, and then I'd sit down to read the Bible and I'd fall asleep. Even now, as you know, I get up early in the morning. If I try to get up early in the morning, I tried getting up like 45 minutes early, and every time I would fall asleep. I would fall asleep at the kitchen table. I would fall asleep sitting on the stairs. I would fall asleep on the floor. Sometimes I even fell asleep leaning on the kitchen counter with my head down. Like, so quiet time is just, before my kids got up, was something that didn't, it wasn't between, very, you know, spiritual between me and Jesus. It was
right.
Like, okay, I guess you're falling asleep on me again. So now I find that in the middle of my day is a much better time for me. Here and there, and little bits here and there where it helps me just to refocus. I've got a devotional in the bathroom. Sometimes you can get some time alone in the bathroom, or, you know, I find that when I spend time with my boys talking about the Bible, I'm just intentional about, like, yeah, this is for me as well. Yeah. So, yeah, because there is lots of noise. And, I mean, more so in your house, I only have three kids, so. which isn't something that I say very often. I only have three kids.
That's right. I'm here for you.
Thank you. It made me feel better about the noise level in my house. But yeah, I love that. So as a homeschool mom, I assume that most of this stuff happens when you are at home alone with the kids. So how does your husband come into play here? Does he share his faith with his kids in any way? Is he more quiet about that? Does he have an intentional time as well with them? Or all are good, just tell us.
Yeah, I would say he has his moments. He's not the guy that all the books told me he should be, you know? No. Yeah. Like, he should be the dad who comes home, he leads his family in devotions, and he prays over his wife, and he speaks the truth over the circumstances in our home. And I tried, you know, I even bought the books and kind of, you know, left them in strategic places for him to read about the man he should be so that he could take that on. And I'm grateful that I have a man who's very secure in who he is. And he was just like, I am not trying to be that formulaic Christian husband that you keep trying to put on me. I am who I am, and I'm in pursuit of God the Father, but my way is not like that way that you're showing me in these books. And so there are times when he is happy and excited to lead devotions and will read at the table, and then there will be seasons. And here, seasons as months, maybe years, where that's not happening. And that's not what it looks like. And I think when my kids are around him, because we have our own business, he'll be on his way to work, or he'll be sitting in his office, and he'll have sermons playing over the podcast. And they can hear that the word of God is important to Dad, but he's not going to turn around and preach it to us. Like, he's not one who's going to make sure that we've memorized books and books of scripture. That's not his focus. His focus is in the daily and in the flow. You can pick up on what matters to him. And when he's moved enough to bring it up, he'll talk about it. But that's not his day-to-day MO.
I think that's pretty much the experience of almost all of us in this group. That just, like you were talking about before, those formulas don't work for very many people. They're formulas. And so they don't work for us. They don't work for when we're parenting our kids, at least for most of them. And they don't work for our husbands either. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's great to know. Okay, so we probably want to wind up here soon because we're at the 30-minute mark, and I'd like to keep...
Well, that was fast.
I know. You've been awesome. I'm just like sitting here soaking you in. Okay, do you have any like last pieces of advice or encouragement for moms who want to, they're, you know, struggling in that surviving motherhood thing and they want to be thriving, but they just don't see the way forward? Do you have any little tips or formulas? Mm. Just kidding. To get them.
First, step one. No. I would first just say that if any moms have just really connected with what I had to say, I would encourage them to connect with me further by visiting my podcast, because my podcast is my place where every week I get to just, my definition is I like to pour my heart out into the mic. Mm. And my hope is to give you encouragement, but also equip you with tools. Because I see moms just like I would see a manager in any organization, except for one important difference. Managers in organizations, once they're hired, one of the first steps that they give is they give that manager training. Oh. They have management training, right?
Right.
And now, moms, we're managing what I consider to be one of the most foundational organizations in our society, but we don't have training. Mm-hmm. And I complained about that long enough that I finally felt like the Lord was like, yeah, like, that's what I called you to do. That's why this is such a passionate issue for you. So I go out into the marketplace and I read a lot of books on management training. Mm-hmm. And that is what I offer on the podcast. Ooh. So I give simple, practical, actionable tools to help you be more efficient and more effective in your parenting and in your motherhood, but they're not ones that take you forever to figure out. And then I'm going to say, you need to go read these three books and take these two courses, and then you can go do this. Like, no, you listen to the podcast and you get in the podcast and go put it into action. That's the kind of stuff that I teach. So I would just say that there's tools out there, and I'm glad that you and I have connected so that, that word can get out, because I want to equip more and more mothers to find a sense of deep purpose in their motherhood, that it's so much deeper and bigger than a conversation about laundry and who needs to be where at what time and what are we eating for dinner. Those are some of the practical things we must deal with, but there's a bigger opportunity that we have to enrich and infuse our homes with purpose, and that we live on purpose. And as an extension, we're encouraging our children to do the same.
Okay, what's the name of your podcast? Because we need this.
Oh, yes. It's the Mentor, the number four moms. Mentor four moms.
Okay, excellent. We'll put a link to that. Is there anywhere else that we can go to find some more encouragement from you? Because this has been fabulous.
Oh, I love it. Well, I'm on the socials, Facebook and Instagram, and that's it, ladies. Like, I'm not coming to Twitter or Snapchat or all the things.
No, I cannot.
I don't even know that I feel like I do those too well, but yes, that's it. Of course, there's my website, and that's my name, SusanC.com. But I would say the podcast is, if you want to find me consistently, that is where I show up every single week.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for spending your half hour with us. We really appreciated it. I'm really bad at ending these things, so thank you. I need to have like a consistent outro or something. You've been watching Mom Mentors Monday
morning.
That sounds
like a formula. I say just be you.
Me. Sorry, guys. I'm awkward. Bye.